There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Welcome to episode 84 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. The way you live the unlimited life you intended to live is by getting really good at processing fear. As we expand, we face fear. We have a choice. We can either process this fear and move on, or we can remain limited by fear. Joshua talks endlessly about the importance of processing fear. This week, we will talk more about why it's so important to approach fear from a higher perspective. Unless you can get good at moving through fear, fear will continue to limit your experience of life. This is take three, everyone, so we're not doing it again. You're just going to have to deal with it.
Edit it out.
No editing. We're just going to deal with it because it's...
We should do it.
Okay, so I have another sentence to read here. If you are receiving inspiration to act, but your fears stop you, then you can't get to the vibrational place where your desires will unfold. Since nearly every fear we face is an irrational fear, we must all start to get better at processing fear. See how good I was at processing the fear of not doing this properly?
That was awesome.
I just moved through it, right?
You're like a pro.
This week, we have a question from one-on-one participant, Nikki, who lives just outside of Paris. She wasn't invited to a party and wants to know how this is for her. On the roundtable today, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hey, Gary.
And Mark Shahada. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Gary.
And Isabel Zimmerman. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, Gary.
And Jennifer Arsenault. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Gary. Hi, everybody.
This roundtable is getting bigger and bigger. Pretty soon, every single person who listens to this podcast will be on this roundtable. That's how big
it is. It kind of feels like they already are.
Okay, I think that that each of you represent 1 million people listening right now.
Yes. Okay. I'm 1,000,001.
Yeah. Well, you all have your millions with you anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thank you for being here. How'd you hear about the show?
Yeah. Are you kidding? Everybody knows about this. The great, great and powerful Joshua. Yeah.
No. Jennifer and I have been friends for 20 years. And we hung out in this group of single people in this Melrose Place type apartment we all lived in. And we were just reminiscing about the good old days.
Molly, what are you eating?
Yes. And I'll just add that I've been privileged to know Gary as he's gone through this entire process and was so fortunate to even be one of the people to proofread the first book. Ask questions at the very beginning. I think I may have been one of the first people to write a review on Amazon or wherever it was that you had the book, Gary. So it's been really cool to be watching from the outsides for a few years, and it's even better to be a part of the one-on-one program now. And I'm really infinitely enjoying the experience, and getting to meet everybody else that's on the program is also wonderful. And I'm just really thrilled to be here.
It's interesting how that we can know each other as we do, and from 20 years ago, and then this thing just hits me, yet you're interested in the same sort of thing. You actually were, interested in law of attraction, Abraham, way back. You actually got into a hot seat and was able to ask Abraham a question.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so it's pretty amazing, really cool.
And then here we are living 5 minutes apart from each other.
Yeah, I'll never forget the time you came over to our house, Gary, and you were like, so kind of putting your toe in the water with us. Have you ever heard of Abraham? I'm like, oh my God, totally. I've been listening for like 10 years. And I remember your eyes just like opening up like, really?
Yeah.
And so it was really cool to establish or to recognize that we had a similar interest in that. And then how it's blossomed for you is awesome. And yeah, I've been on the path of awakening, feels like, for a very long time, but it's in overdrive now.
Yeah, it's turbo. Well, it's interesting too that, you know, that we can see now how we are eternally connected, and that I think somehow we chose to come into here and meet at this time. And, you know, really, because I met Mike when Mike, which is Jennifer's husband, like the day he landed in West Palm Beach. And it's sort of interesting. And that connection there then led to, I mean, him hanging out with our group, which was hanging out with your group. And had
Melrose Place.
Had I not been there at that bar that time, and it was all from Kenny. Kenny introduced us. This one, but you can see how it all was meant to be, even though it was turbulent and resistant and rocky along the way. It all turned out.
So what was that like for you, Gary? Like, that had to have felt good when you first realized these whatever abilities, you know, or like opened up to this, to go somewhere and be like, I know that feeling of like trying to open up a conversation with somebody about this kind of thing and be like, well, have you ever heard of? So for somebody to be like, yeah, tell me more. Did that feel good for you when you were starting out in all of this?
So without that, I probably wouldn't progress because I had Lily. So Lily was with me. You know, we had gone to Abraham together. She's in the spiritual path her whole life. And so then I had Deborah, Joe, and Frank, you know, with me. And then Jennifer. And then even Janine Kotakovich, you know, she was into it too. And so I had all these people around me that were into it. And had it not been for that, I would have been like, you know, had I been like most people who don't have a spouse who's into it, you know, it'd be really hard to develop it because you'd probably want to shut it down right away.
All it takes is just a little bit of acceptance.
So, and then you can see too that for me, it was like, well, that had to be the way it is for this to happen. As I was such a normal guy to start channeling, which to me seems weird, even though I was familiar with Abraham, unless there were people around me who were interested in the same thing, then I don't think it would have developed, you know. And then meeting Steve at the Story Waters. And even my cousin introduced me to Story Waters because she was so interested in this too. A cousin that I've, my closest cousin in the world.
Yeah. And now here's this whole network of people who's like into this stuff.
And it's like all these people are coming out as channelers themselves too. It's just like this natural ability that we all have that we thought was weird or strange. And this just actually was in a question that someone had. About how, I think it was Isabel's question. Did you read your question today?
It's awesome.
Yeah, so it was about how these inner senses that we all have, that we were never told we had them, right? Like, we never told that we can communicate with our inner self, or that we had this guidance mechanism, or that we, all of us, can bring forth infinite intelligence and do our own channeling, or that even talking is channeling, or anytime you hook into the flow, you know. So we all assume that our physical senses are those only senses we have.
Right. And I, over the last few days, I have really been feeling into and feeling comfortable with really just stopping and asking my inner self, my inner guidance, my millions, whoever, like, okay, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling this. Okay, help me through this. Walk me through this. I am a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. And it's just so comforting for me anyways to be able to have that to go to versus panic mode. And I've been around a few people these last few days in panic mode. Never want to go back there. Never. Never. Yeah.
The perception that there's some danger there, and the danger is absolutely real.
The big thing for me, as you know, Gary, the big thing for me is loss of love. Well, to be calm around that now, that I cannot lose this love, and watch other people in that loss of love fear mode. It's like, man, I feel good.
So we all want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
Grams.
Grams.
Wendy is the grandmother.
Baby Hank.
This week. Little Hank.
Awesome.
And did you post anything on Facebook?
I did a couple things. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you post a picture?
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. A few of them.
If you guys out there are not part of our private Facebook group, just
Google it. Or I mean, search it on Facebook.
Search it on Facebook and then add. Yeah. It's the Friends of Joshua. Yeah,
we'll add you.
And we'll add you in. Or send me an email at joshuateachings@gmail.com.
And about that group, I was so excited. That's where I wanted to post first. honestly. I mean, it was like, wow. I could, yeah, wow. You know, you have your personal page, but yes, there's just so much love. And I was just like, oh my God, I got to share this with my people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your tribe.
Yeah. My tribe. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's love interesting how this tribe is developing and this community is building and
it never existed
before. And it's something new. Really fun. Yeah. Oh, well, speaking of the community, if you want to be part of that community in physical reality, then you can join us at the Joshua Cruise, Cruise, I should say, which is going to be a Club Med in Port St. Lucie, Florida at the end of September. And if you want more details, go to theteachingsofjoshua.com and click on events. There's still a couple rooms left. Actually, we've reached our thing, but we can add some more. Mm. So I think we're going to have fun there.
There's also the email address, or if you join Friends of Joshua, Deborah Jo is easily available in there. You can reach out to her there, too. Yeah. Thank you, Deborah Jo, for everything that you do.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And it's so wonderful because you just go on this vacation and she has taken care of everything. You can just walk around like, what's next? What's next? Okay, this is great. It's awesome. So it's awesome.
On the cruise, there were the morning meditations. And I have a story that I'm not a morning person. Like Mark, I'm changing the story. But so the meditations, we all met in the morning, you know, and listened to a guided meditation. And this time she has spoken with the people that work there. There's going to be like coffee and pastry just there.
So you can,
that was part of my like last couple of days. I did go to the meditations because I just wanted to like ease into my day. And like, I wanted to have stuff just given to me, like coffee and things. And I didn't want to have to go seeking it out and be somewhere by a certain time. But so it's just like, she has been really intentional about creating the space for this to be a really easy, fun environment. And that's what I love about Deborah Jo. Mm-hmm. One of the many things.
Yeah. The cool thing about Club Med is that everything's provided for you. All drinks are free. All food's free. No tipping. All the water sports stuff is free.
Talk about fucking abundance.
Party.
Or relax. Whatever.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and do the quote of the week. Who's got the quote?
I do.
Thank you, Isabel.
Okay. All love is self-love. It all starts and ends with self. In order to love another, you must love yourself. In order for others to see your worthiness, you must feel worthy yourself. In order for you to appreciate others, you must learn to appreciate yourself. You will only ever be truly love another in the amount equal to your love for yourself. Loving yourself is the first step in radically changing your approach to life. Joshua.
And that just goes to show that we're self-contained. So there's nothing outside of us that needs to be different or that we can define ourselves with anything outside of us. And that we're all perfect as we are right now. You don't have to change to be loved. You just have to realize that how you are is perfect now. You're not going to get any better. You're just going to be a different version of you.
Yeah. Yes. And Isabel made that picture and everything. It's just fabulous.
Yeah. Is that a photo you took?
Yes. Yes. So I am very blessed to have like a state Huntington Park near me. And I go hiking there all the time with the little white dog, Bijou.
The little white dog.
The little white dog. Who's looking at me like, Mom, are we going for... I can't say the word.
And mine can spell now. Mine spells,
yeah.
Yeah. Can't say the word.
Spells. So you can even spell it.
Maybe it's telepathy.
I didn't think about that, Kyla. You're probably right.
Wendy, is yours with you now? I see you're talking to something.
Yes, I have both dogs here right now. I have my dog and my grand dog.
Oh, okay, good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, so... Did you guys know that I'm going to Paris, me and Lily?
Yes, and I'm jealous. I guess can I be jealous? I'm jealous.
Yeah. So
excited. I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited with anticipation for you.
In Paris is Kate, who lives in Paris, and so we got an Airbnb right down a couple blocks from her, or I don't know how far from her, but
fun.
In the 9th, I think, or 18th, something. Arrondissement, and Nikki lives outside of Paris, so we'll see her too. Nikki's in the 101. And this question we're doing this week is from Nikki. And I think Astrid's flying in from Norway. And
you guys.
They're going to stay in Paris from Saturday until Wednesday. Tuesday night, we're going to the Coldplay concert at the stadium there.
Oh my God, Gary. Yeah. This is like my dream life, man.
Then we're renting a car.
Astrid and Coldplay?
And we're going to drive down to Cannes. And that's wow. where Victoria and Chris live. Wow. Or that's where they Fun. Have a house. So they have this house in, they live in London, but they have a house there. And so we're going to spend some time with them. And then we're going to drive to Florence and then to Lake Como and then maybe to Geneva and then back to Paris.
Wow. Yeah. How long are you guys gone for?
2 weeks.
Wow.
Wow.
What are you like, you know, I'm retired or something? Gee, just take off 2 weeks.
Well, I can work from anywhere. I got my laptop.
That's true.
Can answer That's questions. True. Yep.
That's true. You can play. You can play. That's not work.
Yeah. Just play. I can play yeah. anywhere. Exactly. But anyway, so this question comes from Nikki. So Nikki lives outside of Paris in this what seems like a great neighborhood. And she's got all these people in this neighborhood live and play together. They all do parties at each other's houses. They're always together. It's like an adult, grown-up kind of, what was that, 90210, you know, situation.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're
yeah.
all together, yeah. but they're yeah. all married and couples and having fun.
They're all together, married, kids, jobs. So,
let's go ahead and start our okay. question from Nikki.
Okay. All righty. Dear Joshua, I'd like to explore processing fear. Let's take an example. Last night, I was at a dinner with friends in our social circle. I observed some of my negative emotions and would like help processing the fears that provoked the reactions. In a conversation, I found out that a few women were invited to enjoy the swimming pool of our friends, Alicia and Pascal. I immediately had negative emotion. Why were they invited and not me? This feeling passed, of course, and I was working and I couldn't have gone. But nonetheless, I was jealous. I'd like to free myself of this jealousy business as I know it doesn't serve me. Taking the higher perspective is usually how I deal with this, but as it's come up repeatedly, I think it will require more introspection. Can you walk me through the process, please? With all my love, Nikki.
Okay, so this is the thing. If some theme keeps coming up for you, like for me, it's appreciation, you know, and in this case, you know, it's being left out or feeling jealous that you're not part of a group or whatever it is, then that's because you haven't figured out that fear that you need to, you know, figure out so you can move forward. And you tend to go into the same fear-based response and not process it. So here she's realizing that she's got to process this fear, right? And so this is what Josh was talking about, that if you just sit there and go, I'm not included, there's something, you know, reason for it, you know, it's unfair that they don't include me, it's their fault, not my fault, it's them that's doing this. I need to find better friends who will include me. Well, you're just staying limited. You're not, you know, looking into the cause of this or what is it about you.
Yeah, it's giving power to the external circumstances right. rather than like addressing it internally.
Right. And right. so when something like this happens to you, it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. So that you can take that negative emotion, realize you're in a manifestation event, and say, this is not what I prefer. I prefer this instead. And I think I'm jumping ahead here. Spoiler alert. But Kyla, why don't you go ahead and read for Joshua?
Dear Nikki, first of all, the fact that you are aware of the negative emotion and that your perspective is not empowering but limited is a wonderful thing. That is half the work. And just by becoming aware of what you do not want, you can focus on what is wanted. You can choose how you perceive the subject. You can make up your own story. You can identify the limiting belief. You can use what you are learning to focus on what you would prefer. Instead of making them wrong, you can make them right and simply imagine what you would prefer for yourself. So let's analyze the fear and see if we can identify the limiting belief. Then we will focus on what is preferred and see if any inspiration comes from that.
Okay, so just realizing that you feel negative emotion and that this is an indication that you have some limiting belief here, and this limiting belief is rooted in a fear, then you can say, well, why do I feel this way? And if you can just say that part of it, then you've done half the battle. That's half the job right
yes.
there.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Because I think that I was trained to figure out how they were wrong and how to control the situation, right?
Right. Yeah. What you could do to make it better.
Yeah. Mm. What I could, take some action. Because you feel the fear, you want to take some action that changes right. the fear instead of going inside and realizing, well, what caused that fear in the first place?
Right.
Because unless you get to that inside thing, you're never going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right.
It's right. just going to keep showing up in different ways.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. And making up your own story.
That is so empowering. I mean, literally, if something happens and you can just stop and just create your own story, because you have no idea what they're thinking. You have no idea. So just, and that's so fun and empowering.
Well, this is what Joshua said before, that really the difference between successful people and people who are struggling through life is the self-talk. Being able to make up these stories that are empowering rather than making up these stories that are limiting. That's the only difference, because you're making it up anyway.
Right. Yep. Right. That's the key. You're making it up anyway. And people just don't. I mean, that to me is like the biggest concept, because we are making it all up. It's like,
That live call where they said that, like the difference where they said really clearly, like the difference between successful people and not successful people is like just this belief that, I don't know, making up a story and like being okay with failure or whatever, perceived that, like, that was a huge shift for me. That totally unlocked something for me. And I'm still like exploring it and like figuring out what it means for me. But I love those.
And the big part of that is not identifying with this story that you're telling yourself too.
And don't identify with the victim part of it. Go to the empowering part.
Like, you could easily say, well, if they didn't invite me to this party, then it means I'm a loser, right?
Yeah.
Or you could say, because you're attaching yourself to what's happening. Or you could say, they didn't invite me to this party. Well, that's okay. I'm going to be working anyway. And we'll go to other parties. But I'm jumping ahead here, obviously. But you can talk to yourself in a way that soothes yourself and makes it easier and is probably true anyway. And since you don't know, why not?
Yeah.
Right.
So, what happens, the first thing is we like you said, we identify it. So if we're thinking it, we just think it's real. We just think it's true. So we believe the story, and it's just, it's a truth. Like, it's a given. And then the second thing is, as adults, like, we're not taught to be able to change the story, use our imagination. I mean, we're taught that as children, but then as adults, we're taught to be realistic and face the facts and,
you know,
and so knowing that it could be malleable, we can change the story. It's kind of liberating.
Now, we have to point out, though, that one part of this is that you could just be delusional.
What?
But if you're facing the same situation over and over again, right?
Well,
you're not processing this fear, because processing this fear, you can get actually to a place where you no longer have this recurring theme.
Right.
Or if it does pop up, then you're like, oh shit, that didn't faze me at all. You know?
Yeah.
Right. So,
I also want to share that when the fear pops up, if you don't want to analyze it, you could just say, okay, there's fear and it's making me feel foggy. It's not clear. This perspective is not real. Yeah. And you could just let it go as that, because Joshua gave me
the
answer. And I think, like, sometimes when you can't analyze the fear, or in that moment, or for whatever reason, you could just say, okay, it's just foggy. I can't see it right now. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not aligned with my higher self. My higher self sees this clearly, and I'll just get back to it. Just so you can get past that moment. Just that moment of that initial fear, so you can get back in an alignment much quicker.
Right. Like Joshua says, at a place where you can, like, attract higher level or, like, higher vibrational thoughts.
When I first started, I asked them, should I really feel the emotion, like really sit with the emotion? And they're like, nope, get out of it as quick as you can. Reach for that higher feeling thought as quick as you can.
Oh, wow.
I was going to add, too, that sometimes when I'm experiencing fear and I can't really, for whatever reason, get to the bottom of it in that moment, something that really helps me is just saying, you know, I say to myself, I'm the one feeling, I'm feeling anxiety. I love the one that's feeling anxiety. But it's not me. It's not me. Or I, you know, I love the one that feels panicked, but that's not me.
That's
and it
really
kind of
good.
Reminds me that I'm bigger than the one who's experiencing this. Right. And it gives me, you know, allows a little bit of that love. That's something that I'm really personally trying to cultivate more, is just let the love in. I don't have to solve it. I don't have to fix it. I can just love the me that's experiencing it and know it's not real. Sometimes that will lift me out of the moment.
That's really good.
Well, Joshua said that what fear does is cause you to see reality as a distorted version of reality. And what your inner self is seeing is the true reality. And because you're feeling the fear, you disconnect yourself from the true reality. So what you're seeing is a distortion of reality that is not true. And if you can realize that, if If there's a lion in your house, then it's appropriate to feel fear, right? But as soon as that lion leaves, the fear's over with. You feel relief. Well, if we start to feel jealous that we're not getting invited to a party, that's never going to leave us. It's going to be lingering with us until we process it, you know, because that those people are never leaving, you know, unless you move away or something. They're going to be with you.
Yeah. I think that, like, the two integrate at the point that, like, we remember that all we really are is limitless beings of pure positive love. So, like, that's what Joshua said over and over and over. And I loved when they said, was it on the last live call where they said, like, you know, like, when you fill up the space with love, there's just less room there for fear, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, the fear may still be present, but the more love. So I've been, like, Jennifer, just, like, filling up on love, like, focusing on the love aspect. And then in those situations, like, where I would have normally felt fear or still do feel fear, it's so much less because, like, I just go back to love, like, instantly. And that, it comes from, like, Joshua taught me that it was fear. You know, that's what all of that negative, that it all just boiled down to fear. And then the process of processing it helped me understand it, what it was, why it was present. And then now, like, after just practicing it and doing it over and over and over and over, now it's like a computer, you know, it's just an automatic response. And then when I just, like, let the computer do that job, then I just focus on getting back to being love, And then in those same situations, like, where I'm being criticized or whatever, I think somebody, like, I'm about to lose somebody's love, then I just remember, oh shit, I am love. I don't know.
It's good stuff.
Let's go to the next paragraph.
You are around a group of friends and they mention a get together where you were left out. Now, the interesting thing about this is that you became aware of it. They mentioned this in front of you. They did not take steps to cover it up in order to save you from feeling bad. Isn't that unusual? What might it mean? It means that you were meant to know about the event. It was for you. If it hadn't been for you, you could not have found out about it, or you would have known but not experienced negative emotion. So the fact that you felt negative emotion is proof that this manifestation event is for your benefit. Your first step is to recognize that fact. The next step is to understand how it is for you.
So isn't it interesting, is if it comes into your reality, then it's for you. Those friends could have just sent emails to each other, right? But instead they spoke about it openly, and it didn't occur to them that you would feel left out or jealous. But you would think that they would if they were trying to protect her feelings, right? If they're her friend. So the fact that they didn't, you know, they said this to Astrid all the time. She was always worried about saying the wrong thing in front of people. And they would say, if you say the wrong thing, it's the right thing, because they needed it to happen in their, you know, in their experience. It was a manifestation event for them and for you too, but for them, you know. So it's interesting how this stuff all plays out. People get this inspiration as they think about later, goes, man, that was probably not a good thing to say. Nikki was right there, you know. Maybe she's going to feel left out. But it didn't even occur to them. I'm starting to realize, and actually this is through Astrid too, that as Astrid's channeling Laurel recently, there was a post on Facebook about how everyone is being guided every step. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And we are taking so many more steps through this guidance than we think we are. We think we're doing a lot of it on our own, but this is all inspirations coming forward. And we're moving in the right direction, but we're resisting so much of it because we think it's wrong, because we're trying to control it. It's like being in a train and wanting the train to go down that street there that you just passed. It's never going to happen, right?
Right.
You're on this way going to where you're supposed to be going, and you think you should be going this way.
Yeah.
I think there's so much more to this stuff than we can even imagine.
Yeah. You
know? Like, if we knew what was really happening, we would just blow our minds. Yeah. We are on the leading edge of this conversation, the total leading edge. And we're, like, just barely scratching the surface of it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I was listening to Joe Rogan. He was talking about this girl who said, hey, I've learned about this law of attraction thing. And I'm really, everything's going to go right for me now. And blah, 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 blah. And 6 months later, you know, nothing ever happened for her. And it's like, see, that doesn't work. Thinking positive thoughts, that doesn't work. Because there's so much more to it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like we're learning right now that 2 and 2 equals 4, but we have no idea about algebra.
You know? That's what happened when the secret came out. And, you know, to the world, I mean, that's pretty much how law of attraction got spread out to the world. And everyone heard it and they felt the truth. This is the truth. Mm-hmm. We can create our reality. and then they try it, and we all try it, and we don't, you know, we don't have the success that we think. We get happy at first, and then we're like, okay, there's an art to this. There's a practice.
Yeah.
There's,
and there's tools. Yeah. There's tools. That was always my thing with Abraham. I would listen to Abraham, and it's like, okay, that all sounds good, but how do I do that? And so Joshua actually broke it down to like manageable steps, is how I felt.
What I like about Joshua is they show the why, you know, they, or they help you, like they empower you to figure out the why and then let you relax and like understand that the how is taken care of, that like we don't have to do the how, we don't have to figure out how. We just have to figure out why it is this way for us. And then the how takes care of itself if we let it.
Yeah. And you don't have to hold on to that thought, because if you hold on to that thought, then you're acknowledging the lack of that thought. So you got to just think it and let it go and trust that it's all going to happen.
Right. And the last paragraph that Kyla just read, this breaks down manifestation events, how they are for you. Because Gary was just talking about all the different possibilities that this could not have been in her reality. She could have not seen the email. Her friends could have coordinated in a conversation. And it just shows the possibilities, how it was for her that it came to her, because there's so many possibilities how it could have happened without her knowledge. And then when she did that, like,
Okay, and then
see it, it is for me, because there's millions of things that I would never see.
And then she asked a question, and she got the answer, and then we're talking about it now, and people are hearing it, and it's it's for everyone too.
That's an interesting idea to think about too.
So do you, are you saying, Mark, that now because we're in this forum, that we have more shit happening to us so we can share it for the benefit of all humankind? So by being part of this show, we're exposing ourselves to all this trauma.
Yeah, we're the sufferers for everyone, for everyone's behalf.
That's one perspective. We are the adventurers. We're the explorers. We're we get to have all this shit happen so we can talk about it and learn from it and grow. And
It's like climbing Mount Everest to tell our story of how we climbed Mount Everest.
Yeah. And isn't that what everybody's doing? I feel like everybody feels like they're climbing Mount Everest, and they're like, why am I the only one climbing Mount Everest? And they're just like, what, dude, I'm climbing Mount Everest too. Mine's actually Mount Kilimanjaro or whatever.
Like, I'm on the other side of the rock over here.
That feels just crazy.
Have you guys seen the documentary about Carl Reiner? Or
no.
So it's it's called, it's like, I read the obituary. If I'm not in the obit, then I'll eat breakfast, right? So he reads the obituary. If he's not in it, then I'll eat breakfast. So he's in his 90s, and it's about all these guys and girls are in their 90s, you know, who are just having so much fun. And they're like, they feel like they did when they were in their 20s and 30s. They're doing the same things. He's writing every day, walking every day, hang out with his friends every day. And it's like, why are we perfectly healthy, having a great time, have all our capacities, doing what we love to do, when all these other people are dying around us, you know, and sick and all that stuff. And it's because, you know, the way we're taught really is, you know, you learn, 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 and then you thrive in your 20s and 30s, and then you pretty much die, die, die.
Yeah. You
know? Because once you get to this this pinnacle, and then you go downwards. But not if you're focused on what you enjoy, not if you're passionate about stuff, you know. If you're living your life to go to retirement and then relax, well, that's not living your life anyway. You're not here to relax. You're here to sift and sort and explore and be passionate and interested in things and be with people like this and, you know, and work on stuff that's bigger than you are. And then to process these fears, because you, it seems like you can get bogged down by so much fear and just get more and more and more resistant that soon starts manifesting into illnesses. You know, that's what it seems like.
Oh, most definitely.
I'm the poster girl for that.
And so if you can, if you can learn these things like processing fear and maintaining your alignment and feeling, you know, making it a priority to feel good, then, I mean, it seems so obvious that all we need to do is feel good and make that our number one priority. Yet I never did it until literally a year ago.
Right.
And then when I started, you know, doing the Joshua workbook for the Joshua diet and really writing down what I'm intending and what I want to feel and how I feel now and how I intend to feel tomorrow and how did I feel yesterday. And I want to write down awesome, awesome, awesome all the time. Sometimes I don't, you know. But so now I really pay attention to sleeping, to drinking before bed or before. I really limit my alcohol. I don't mix alcohols anymore. It's just red wine. That's all it is. I really pay attention more to what I'm eating and when I go to bed and when I wake up and meditating every day. And it just
makes a difference. Makes
for the first time. It's like looking for the real feel good. Like what actually feels feeling. And then knowing what feels good and what feels bad. Going back to what Wendy, like what you just said about, you know, the point was brought up that these things then can like manifest into physical illnesses. And you're like, I just heard it with this sigh, like, yeah, I'm the poster girl for that. But like what you're the person, what you're the poster girl for, like that's one of your mountains and you fucking
suck.
Oh,
I know.
Like,
I know.
I don't know. That's awesome. I'm feeling very celebratory. So I wanted to celebrate that.
Yay.
You know, it's
I
funny
feel good. Doodle, doodle, doodle,
It
seems like the last month or so, we've all been going through this shit. And now it feels like we're on the other side of the shit. You know?
Yeah.
Which means get ready for more shit because it's coming.
That's right.
Okay, well, let's have a little time here.
Just a shit show.
Yeah. Let's have a free shit period. A shitless period.
Before we get back to the next
This show. Is the Teachings of Joshua Shit Show. Welcome. Thank you.
It started off like a shit show, didn't it?
What's a shit show? That's a fun.
That's right. All right, let's go on to the next one.
Okay. You feel the negative emotion of jealousy. All negative emotion is some sort of fear. What is the fear? What is the limiting belief that causes you to feel fear? The limiting belief causes you to take a perspective that is out of alignment with how your inner self sees the same subject. Your inner self maintains a higher perspective, and you choose one that does not agree with that perspective, and so you receive the negative emotion of jealousy as a result.
Okay. All there is, good emotions or bad emotions, and all good feeling emotions are based in love. So whether that's joy or exuberance or excitement or interest or any of that stuff, that's all a love-based emotion. And it's all an indication that you have a beneficial belief. Mm. And then all negative emotions, any emotion that feels bad, is just based in fear. If you did not have the fear, it would be impossible to feel any negative emotion. So for instance, in this case, if she didn't have some fear, she could not feel negative emotion. If her friends didn't invite her to a pool party, it would not be possible, right? So you might say, okay, well, we'll call that jealousy or we'll call that envy or we'll call that whatever it is. It may have a name to it, and the name can pinpoint, you know, give you a little bit of insight into what that fear is, but it is fear.
For me, what's like the result of the processing, like what that's ended up looking like for me in some situations, you know, it's still like really real and visceral in others, but is that the negative emotion after processing it so much where it becomes this automatic response, it's just at that point emotion where like, oh, jealousy. Oh, that's what used to be jealousy. But it's just this thing. Like I know all, and then you do the things like go through the story, but then so where it like everything is neutral kind of, and then you can choose how to see anything and the good is what feels good. So why not choose good all the time?
Yeah.
That's, so it's like even more detachment.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a real important point is that we are in this trap of duality, thinking that some things are good, some things are bad. And we don't really realize that nothing is good or bad until we focus on it and choose to say if that's good or bad.
Right.
You know, and if you take yourself as a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, and you say, okay, I'm a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, and here are my friends doing a pool party without me, what would you feel if you were being who you really are? You'd feel love for them. You say, oh, I'm so glad we're having fun. You know?
Right.
Okay, let's go on to the next one.
Okay. Can you pinpoint the limiting belief? If I was good enough, if I was likable enough, if they liked me, then they would invite me. If I was good. Is that a fear? Certainly. Are you good? Yes. Are you good enough? Yes. Do you need to be different than you are? Well, maybe, but that's not really the issue. You are good. There's nothing wrong with you. You do not need to change, but maybe you might want to look at how you view yourself.
Okay. So if you viewed yourself as a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, or as worthy, or as whatever, right? You couldn't feel this negative emotion. It wouldn't be possible. You wouldn't have a fear. So... Mm-hmm. The fact that you feel something means something about how you're viewing yourself.
Okay. You see, you are perfect as you are right now. There's nothing wrong with you. You do not have to be different than you are for others to love you. All you have to do is think about a bit differently about yourself. Everything outside of you is a mirror to how you feel. That is the basic design of the system. The people and conditions in your life are a reflection to how you feel. You want certain things. In order to become a vibrational match to what you want, you need feedback. Your outside world is simply a feedback mechanism. If you were thinking about yourself in the way that will allow you to receive all that you want, you could not receive this message of jealousy. Therefore, the message is an indicator that you are not thinking and feeling about yourself in a way that is a match to the version of you who will receive all that you want. You don't have to fix anything. All you have to do is come to understand who you really are.
Okay, so everyone as they are is perfect, right? We're all perfect as we are. We cannot improve. We're perfect the day we were born. We're perfect the day after we were born. We're perfect the year after, 2 years after. There was no point where we became imperfect, right? There was no flaw that was found in us. We were always perfect. Now, the version of me at 10 was perfect, and the version of me at 54 is perfect too. That one is no better or worse than this one now. It's different. I'm expanded. I have a higher perspective. I can see things differently, but I'm no better. So how I was at 10 is just as perfect as how I am now. Therefore, we're self-contained. Everything exists in us. The only difference is how we perceive ourselves. And everything in our outside world is just a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. So if we want things to be different, we don't change the conditions. We change how we think about ourselves. That's all there is to it.
Well put.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Preach. All right. Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, can we write this off as a church?
Yeah, turn it into a nonprofit. Yeah, taxes are for the birds.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, everything outside you is a feedback mechanism, so therefore your friends are this great feedback mechanism. Because if you are going to get what you want to get, then you have to think of yourself differently. Otherwise, this theme is going to keep popping up for you.
And that's the thing. Your friends are a great feedback mechanism. Your spouse, your kids, your everybody in your reality, your enemies, like everybody in your
enemies, your parents.
Those are the best feedback mechanisms. All right. You are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
We could just stop right there. Like, that's all you need to know. Okay. But this
I write that sentence more than any other sentence.
Yeah,
imagine. My fingers are getting tired from writing that sentence.
Huh, what are the odds? Well, what are the odds that you write that sentence more than any other sentence? If it's almost like somebody wants you to like pay attention to that sentence.
Everyone else is, just not me.
When I do the playbook. Gary,
listen, you are a shining beam of light.
There, I'll take that.
And you concurrently. Okay, I'm going to start from the beginning. Okay. You are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. You are a shining beam of light. You are good and worthy and perfect as you are. You can't be any better than you are. Improvement is not possible. If you think about yourself in a way that is more empowering, then your life will change to reflect that. But you won't be any better. People won't like you more because you've changed something about yourself. They will like you more because you like yourself more. All they can ever be is a reflection to how you feel about yourself. You can't make them wrong or you wrong because none of it is wrong. It is just a representation of how you feel. Feel differently and they will be different. Feel angry that they excluded you and you will change your reality and move towards something unwanted. Feel exuberant and you will be focused on what you want and your reality will change to reflect that.
If you feel angry and resentful at them for excluding you, then that just changes your reality of how you can be around your friends, you know, and how they act to you and all this stuff. And then you'll start from this negative emotional state of being, you're going to get these urges and impulses to, you know, call them out on what they did to you that was wrong and all these things that come out of fear.
Yeah.
You'll attract more examples of them too. For you to be angry to them, you'll just attract more reasons and
manifestation.
More reasons of
and you won't get over the issues that you need to get over. You know, you won't process this thing and reduce the intensity of this limiting belief, which means that it's going to have to keep coming up and keep coming up and keep coming up until you get it.
Mm-hmm. I've had things and like things like this, maybe not just jealousy necessarily, but where something just keeps coming up over and over, and like the feeling of being excluded. So if people are excluding me, then I'm like, am I excluding myself somehow? You know, and then I'm just more intentional about doing, like, if it was a pool party that, oh, I didn't get to go to this pool party, then I'm like, fuck it, I'll throw myself a pool party, you know? And then the next week, then I have 5 invites to pool parties, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I know this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Resent them for not inviting you and your reality changes. Judge them as wrong and your reality changes. Judge yourself, your husband, your situation as wrong and your reality changes. However, if you pay attention to what you really want, to be included, and love them and yourself for receiving this message, then you can change your reality and move toward what you want.
So this is a huge thing that I always forget, is that I get focused on what was wrong that happened rather than now what do I want? You know, what do I want? Focus on what I want. Mm-hmm. Forget about what was wrong. Focus on what I want. Instead of why it was wrong and how this did it to me and all this stuff. You know. Okay. So what does she want, Carla?
I'll tell you. Joshua will tell you. Through me. Through you. Through me. I don't know. Okay. Here's what she wants. Someone who loves pool parties. I love to be invited to things. I love my friends and neighbors. This is the best group of people I have ever known. I have so much fun with them. I want to be my joyful and authentic self around them. If they invite me to something, it will be fun. If I am not invited this time, I will be next time. If I am invited, it will be for my highest good, and I will appreciate those times when I am included. When I am not invited, it is also for my highest good, and I will have something else to do that suits me better, because everything is always working out for me.
So this is the way you talk to yourself that is empowering and that makes, you know, this is people who are successful talk to themselves like this, and people who have struggles do not talk to themselves like this.
You know, if you got excluded and you got upset and then you built some momentum around that, you're not going to be able to talk to yourself like that right away. So you have to, like, you know, stop that momentum, stop that shift of negative momentum and kind of back out of the angry and then process your fears. And then you might be able to talk to yourself like that. But from a lower vibrational stance, you know, if you went on that, why didn't they choose me, and you get angry and upset and spiral down from there, you're not going to be able to talk to yourself like that. You don't have that access yet.
Like they said in the beginning, awareness is half the battle. Like they told him, being aware that it's fear. Sometimes that, I don't know.
Yeah.
To get caught up and like, oh, this is just how I've always been. So this is how I process this. But it's like, wait a second.
You can process it in a new way. And if you wrote this down, that would be powerful too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. You had this habit of, you know, you're not in that normal person who says things like this to yourself. You can actually say, well, now I'm going to write this down, see what comes out.
If only there was like a book or a playbook that was sort of designed around that. Like, I don't know. Diet or something.
Well, yeah, you could use that, because even if you need to be on a diet, you could still use that, because that was just a scam to get people to focus in a way that was empowering.
But yeah, I love that. The idea of having a practice of like sitting down and doing just that, like writing this kind of paragraph, you know, but just in a list that takes a couple of minutes, just like your intentions, like what it is that you want. That's powerful. But John has a really good point. On Amazon.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Sorry, this is Jennifer. I was going to say, I really liked what Mark said, because we have to remember that we are, you know, we're fluid, and we're all, our vibration is always moving. And when an event happens like this that brings up the fear, just like Abraham used to say, just seek relief in that moment. Just try to be kind to yourself, because sometimes you can get so in that fearful, fear-based place that you don't know how to get yourself out. And sometimes you don't need to have the answer right away. You know, like all of these suggestions we were just talking about are good, but you may not be vibrationally anywhere near where that would occur to you. So sometimes you just have to ride it out. You know, like you are where you are, and it's got to be good enough. Make peace with it. And then just know that in some time, and you know, hopefully as you become more aware, that time frame shortens. But in some time, you know, sometime soon, you can get yourself into a better feeling place, and then you can reflect and then try to, you know, uncover the fear, discover what is triggering it, and then make those other moves that we were just talking about. But just honoring where you are and saying it's okay, loving yourself to say, you know what, I can't even see straight right now. I'm so jealous, or I'm feeling so left out, and I'm, you know, this is triggering something for me. just, you know, sometimes self-soothing, just, you know, love, it's all it is. And then let the answers come when you're feeling a little bit better and you can get distracted.
And it's a lot easier to work on little things too. Little tiny emotions when they come up. The big ones, you definitely, like I would say that most of the questions that Joshua receives is a couple days after the event to help, because it's hard to say, all right, so this is for me, and almost everyone does this, is how is it for me? Joshua, how is it for me that this happened?
Yeah.
You know, and then Joshua won't tell them exactly how it's for them, but, you know, leads them down this path of what, you know, and it's always, always right every time.
Isn't there four categories of fear? Like the fear of loss is one. And would this be the fear of loss, like she's missing out on something?
It seems like, okay, so it's fear of loss, fear of change, or the unknown. And there were a couple other ones I can't remember. But I think that all of it comes down to fear of loss, right? Is there anything else that you're fearful of? You know, fear of change is a fear of loss of what you have now. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So if you're losing love.
So I think everything is a fear of loss. Yeah.
And that's lack. That's what we feel
It's a belief that things could be lost. But in a attractive universe, you can't lose anything. Once you've attracted it, you can't ever go away. You know. So like, okay, well, someone stole my laptop. Well, actually, someone stole my TV. You know, someone stole my TV. And I'm like, all right, now I get to get the TV I want. You know, so I get this brand new, huge, gigantic TV that I love. You know, and that's just how you have to reframe it. Or how I did, anyway. But anyway, I didn't lose the TV. It went out of my reality because I was no longer a match to it. And it made room for something I was a match to. You know? And you can go on and on with that. But even, you know, imagine your first love. Well, that love is lost, but that love is always with you. You always remember it. You were affected by it. And most people wouldn't want to be with that person now. It made room and made them grow in a way that attracted whoever they're with now.
Your story with the TV is a perfect example of what you were just saying about, like, the little things. It's easier to do on the little things. So, like, you know, practicing doing it with a TV or, like, being like, fuck yeah, I can push past it here so that I've just learned something. I can take this and apply it in the bigger areas, too. But celebrating, like I said, celebratory. Celebrating the little things, too.
Yeah. And also catch it early. That's the habit. Like, you can get really upset and then get angry and get really hurt and then spiral down. And then, you know, you get yourself, you soothe yourself, you get, find your way out. And then try the next time, just try to, okay, when I'm feeling negative, catch it early. If you can catch it early, then you can get out of it easier. Then you can be able to say these loving things to yourself. And so it's a good habit. All right, nip it at the bud. Yeah. Catch it early.
The more you practice it, the faster it gets, the easier it gets. Mm-hmm. The more you realize what's really happening, the less you see the distortion of reality caused by fear, the more you see the real reality, the more you know that you're not in alignment with your inner self, and the more that the little things don't bother you. The big things are always going to be a big thing, but the little things, if you, you know, if you let these things go quicker and don't dwell on them and stick into them, you know, like I do this thing where I get knocked out of a poker tournament and I try and get over it before I get to the valet, you know, before I get my car, I try and get over it, you know. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And sometimes I doesn't get over until I get home, but it's, you know, other people talk about how there should be a punching bag. They're in the poker room. That they how they pound on their car. How their whole dashboard is dented up. All right. Let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Oh, this is the last one. Okay.
You might look at the statement above and consider it to be too optimistic and that you would just be fooling yourself. However, the statement is vibrationally accurate and perfectly aligns with the laws of the universe. It is a true statement. And this mindset enables you to maintain your alignment and to feel good. This is the only thing you ever need to do. Maintain your focus on what you do want, not what you don't want. You do want to be included, and you don't want to see your friends or yourself as wrong. All you are doing is changing your focus of attention from what you might perceive as wrong to what you actually want. This is the key to a successful life filled with everything you want. This is the approach to life that will enable you to rise to the vibration of everything you truly want. With our love, we are Joshua.
All right. So by processing fear, what really happens is when you get good at processing fear, you get good at receiving inspiration to act. And you get good at moving through that fear that comes up because you get to look at these little fears and see if they're real and
see how they're rational and all that stuff too. So it seems like everything is boiling down to getting good at processing fear and maintaining a higher perspective. If you can do that.
Yeah.
All right. So are we doing that better than we did before?
For sure. Yeah.
Every day.
Good.
Can we go back to the paragraph? Let me see. Where she's asking herself questions. Oh, okay. Here it goes. You see where it says, can you pinpoint the limiting belief? That paragraph, it's the, I don't know. Mm-hmm. One,
go ahead and read it.
Okay. And then, okay. So can you pinpoint the limiting belief? If I was good enough, I was likable enough. If they liked me, then they would invite me if I was good. Okay. Yeah. So then is that a fear? Certainly. Are you good? Yes. Are you good enough? Yes. Do you need to be different than you are? Well, maybe. So Joshua's answering those questions, but I think a good thing to bring up is that when you're asking yourself, and he spells it out here, but just to kind of clarify, when you're asking yourself those questions, you're answering from the perspective of the inner self or the perspective that you're a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance. Mm-hmm. So that's just to remember, you're processing your fear and you feel these certain things. Ask yourself these questions, and then what does my inner self think about this? And or my true self, that I'm a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance, answer those questions from that point.
Yeah. So if I was my authentic version of me, how would I answer these questions? Right.
Exactly.
Am I good?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I'm good. I can't be anything other than good. You know, my behavior doesn't dictate whether I'm good or not. I am good. Right. We're all good. That's just given. That's just part of who we are. We're all worthy. We're all unique. We're all perfect as we are. We're all self-contained. These are just basic facts of who we are. Now, okay, so let's just say that she wasn't invited because maybe she has a funny laugh, right? Whatever it is. Would she have to change that laugh to be invited?
Yeah. Hell no.
Right?
She shouldn't.
Isn't the laugh that annoys the people? It's her view of herself, which allows the people to be annoyed by some aspect of her. But if she felt completely comfortable with these people, loved them whether they loved her back or not, there would be no possibility that they could be annoyed by anything because there'd be no reason for them to feel fear in, you know, by being with her, in her presence, right? So the only reason you could feel annoyed by someone is because something about them causes you to feel fear.
Like if she was totally loving up on herself, you know, and that was her thing, like was this laugh, the same people who might have otherwise perceived it as annoying would be like, oh my God, I love your laugh. It's so unique, you know? I was going to say about that same paragraph, I love the grace in the line, you know, do you need to be different than you are? Well, maybe, but that's not really the issue. But it's not like, it's not like they're saying, like, in order to receive everything that you want, you will have to become a different version of yourself. But like, but you're perfect exactly as you are. And so I have that voice in my head where it's like, do I need to be different? And part of me wants to be like, no, I'm perfect exactly as I am. And that's true. Like both are true. I'm perfect exactly as I am. And I do have to become a different version of me in order to receive everything that I want. But like in this instance, I'm good. I love that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jennifer?
I think for me, I've been really taking a lot of time to focus on my own inner guidance. And, you know, I was channeling for a while and writing it down, and that was really exciting. And now I've just been listening and not focusing so much on writing it down, but just trying to follow the advice, so to speak. And for me, the guidance I've been getting loud and clear just recently is to try to become the observer that is present during my meditation is me. It's my inner being. It's my, so, you know, you can say to yourself, you can analyze and talk to yourself from your persona, or you can try to tap into that connection that you feel when you're meditating. And for me, when I hear very clear guidance from my inner being. And that's what I'm really working on now, is removing pressure from myself to do anything that doesn't feel good, and just trying to observe more in larger chunks of my day. And so I guess that came to me when we were all talking about when something comes up and you analyze it, you know, you gotta, and I think this is kind of what Mark was saying, who's analyzing it? Because you know, if you're tapped in and you're connected, you're going to be a lot better at analyzing it, or I don't even know if analyze is the right word, feeling your way through it.
Process.
You know, you can say to yourself, I'm awesome. I know I'm love, and I'm like, we've all heard that now, blah, blah, blah. Like if you're not, you're not connected, it's kind of like just, it's not the authentic connection. So I don't know if that's helpful, but for me, that's how I'm really trying, and it's challenging for me. Like it's baby steps for me, but I'm really working on trying to be more mindful through my day and reach for that place where I'm observing my day as I'm moving through it. And I am so bad at it right now, but that's that's where I am, just trying to just be aware. And I think that's really so simple, but that's kind of the key, is just aware of how you're feeling. And when you feel yucky, no matter what the circumstance, just, you know, trying to go within and say to yourself, the yuckiness is not me, and it's okay, I'm feeling yucky. But for me, it's like, just breathe, be present, come back to that present moment, look at nature, look at your kids, look at something, your dog, whatever you love, and just bringing it back to simplicity. I don't know. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
How long have you been meditating?
Me? Consistently, or when did I start?
Well, when did you start?
I started meditating in 1999. And I have been consistent now since like January 15th, like every day, not without fail.
Yeah.
So my level of clarity has exponentially grown. Like that's why I joked earlier about when we met, Gary, like I've always been on a spiritual path, but I chose to go back to sleep because it was too challenging for me when I was younger, quite honestly.
And so it's amazing though, how just that practice of consistent daily meditation just changes everything. Because now you get to be aware of your thoughts.
Yeah.
I resisted that for so long. I mean, this is, I had a really specific desire or feeling that I should be meditating. And I just kept saying, no, I don't want to do it.
Me too.
And once I, and in the beginning, it's hard to do. And once I started doing it, I started to enjoy it. And now I find that I'm able to suspend thought for maybe 30 seconds at a time, which I think is amazing. And then thought comes in, and then I'll wander off into thought and then stop it for 30 seconds. And you just become aware of your thoughts on the day-to-day basis and what you're thinking. Because before, without being able to control that and know that you receive thoughts, these thoughts just flood your mind. You think that's normal. But if there's so many thoughts coming in, you don't know which are the negative ones, which are the positive ones. There's all this mix. That was another one of someone's questions, is like, oh, they were driving down the road and they just got swept up in all this emotion. That's because they had a whole bunch of negative thoughts and a whole bunch of positive thoughts. And they were just this jumble of stuff, right? Interesting. All right, you guys. Well, this has been a phenomenal, awesome podcast. Probably the best podcast that I've ever listened to or been a part of.
The best one ever?
Yes.
This is the best one ever.
Without
a doubt. This is
number 80-something. Can't remember, 83. The Joshua Land Cruise is the end of September. How much is it? It's like $600 or something.
Yeah, $599.
So that includes, you know, all your food and stuff. And it's going to be a fun group of people. All?
Yeah.
Okay, what's good about this group? They're all really young, cool, hip, and damn good looking. This is a good looking group of people that will be there.
It's true.
Are you saying I can't go now?
What you're one of the best. Look at those eyebrows.
Mark.
How could you doubt yourself? If I had those eyebrows, I could rule the world. So think about coming. A lot of fun. And
how many people
do you think? I don't want to count. I don't want to count because I don't want to be attached to anything. If there was 10 people, it would be the most fun group of 10 people. If there's 100 people, it would be the most fun group of 100 people. One day, it's going to be a whole cruise ship full of people. One day, it'll be a whole resort full of people, you know? And that won't be – it'll be different, you know? This – we're going to be able to interact and – dance. I'm not really going to dance, but you guys can dance and have fun. And we can party, you know? And we don't have to talk about this shit all the time, but we'll have sometimes when we meditate and sometimes when we'll do Joshua. It'll all be fun.
No, it will be. This is true. It's going to be fun. That's like number one priority, I think, right?
Number one intention.
So I hope you'll join us there. If not, we will record it all and you'll hear it all on one of these podcasts. Until then, have an incredible week. And that's about it. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.